Greetings, team. Welcome to the Badass Agile Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Williams. Greetings, guys, and welcome back. In this episode, we continue our series on the Badass Agile Keys, the area of continuous improvement. This is episode 4, Tips for Getting Honest Feedback. In a culture where people are afraid to talk, how do you get open and honest feedback so that you can build a high-performing team that everyone wishes they were a part of? But first, let's remember why we're here. To create an elite tribe of leaders who use agile principles to improve their leadership game, which they can bring back to their clients, teams, and projects. There are tons of resources out there about what you need to do to be agile, but we're focused on who you need to become in order to lead teams. Be an agile person, become a badass, and your leadership skills will improve. Remember, you don't have to listen to these episodes in any order. Just pick a topic that interests you. But I want you to immerse yourself into the badass agile philosophy and mindsets. Really think about and start working on the kind of leader you want to become. And remember, if this helps you, tell your friends. One of the biggest challenges to continuous improvement is getting open and honest feedback from your team members. Now, why does this happen? Well, in general, corporate cultures don't lend themselves well to giving feedback openly, especially around people they perceive as being their superiors, unless you're very fortunate to have strong, non-hierarchical work culture. You're always going to have team members who are more than happy to bring their talent to the game, but not really open for much else. That means they won't want to offer criticism. The long story short is that fear of some kind hinders our ability to communicate openly and honestly. By the way, this applies outside the office too, into family life, friendships, and relationships. So think of this as a core life skill. Here are some things that tend to go wrong in the feedback process. Number one, people are straight up afraid of offending or upsetting others. That's natural. Number two, people are afraid to say things that may cause them to lose their job. Number three, and this one's a little more insidious, people don't actually want things to change because dysfunction is an excuse for low performance and low expectations, and some people don't really want to rock that boat. Number four, people give feedback sometimes when they're angry, usually about something completely unrelated, so you can't always trust the feedback that you get. And number five, people sometimes use feedback as a weapon to defend themselves against things they're truly afraid of, like blame. Now, why do we really need to get good at feedback, though? If we never dig in and get brutally honest, we never fix the things that truly hold us back. Now, sure, we'll have plenty of different colored stickies and Sharpies and lots of healthy snacks in the team room, but we never face up to our fears to tackle the things that truly constrain our success to a mere 10% or less of what it really could be. Now, when teams are not performing, it's really easy for team members to make excuses in their heads. They think, well, if John would just put his phone down in meetings, we'd get so much more focused work done. Or maybe the boss doesn't care about the little guy down at team level. Whatever you're thinking, whether these are true or false, you'll never know for sure if the only person you're grumbling to is yourself. And worse still, if you don't share that feedback openly, it tends to fester and turn into negativity, gossip, and a defeatist attitude that is infectious and can poison other team members. Now, all of us have blind spots that we can't see. Honest feedback is the only way we ever get to see them. How do we show up to others? That's really valuable information to know if you're trying to get better. And finally, learning to take honest feedback and see that the world doesn't actually crumble that your self-concept isn't actually in mortal danger builds grit, builds resilience. Once you see in real time that you can take it and use it to make yourself better, you will have mastered one of the most debilitating fears that causes poor performance in work culture, the inability to handle criticism. So what needs to get better to allow and enable high-octane feedback culture? Well, first, we need to serve something bigger than our individual selves. Teach teams to value the team itself. It is a privilege to serve with an elite unit of badasses, so teach your teams to see themselves that way. Once we value the team as our vehicle to serve our vision and purpose, we need to recognize that constant introspection and improvement is a core shared value. We also need to trust each other, and we need to build confidence in each other and in the value of feedback by example. You get better at this by practicing, practicing, and practicing, and you do it in a show me, don't tell me kind of manner. So here are some tips that you can use to improve trust and generate more open and honest feedback starting now. Number one, encourage team members who are open to giving feedback to give feedback on you first. This means that once again, you as the leader are going first. Anytime you run a session, ask the team to give you their honest feedback. Lean on a few friendly team members. We sometimes call them confederates because they're kind of in on the scheme, if you will, to make their feedback particularly critical. Not in a mean way, but in a way that highlights a weakness or calls out an area for massive improvement. It can be something that you know about already, or it can be something that maybe you don't know about. All the better. Number two, find an opportunity to be truly vulnerable. And that means expressing your fear, uncertainty, or weakness. You share this with the team so that they know you're human and are more than willing to expose yourself. So I do this sometimes. There are certain kinds of projects that I don't like being on, or I'm not particularly good at, let's put it that way. Agile projects that do data analytics, business warehouse type stuff are harder for me because they tend to be an all or nothing type of design. So I struggle with delivering value in short and early increments. So I find those projects particularly challenging and they rack my nerves. And I'll straight up tell a team that when I'm working on BI projects so that they know this isn't my wheelhouse, this isn't my strong suit, but I am here to nail it anyway. Being vulnerable like that lets them know that I'm real, lets them know that I'm human, that I don't know it all, and that I'm super open to improving and getting better. Number three, you know how big I am on vision-based leadership. Set up a creed with your team. I'll walk you through a specific example in a future episode, but it's so important for your team to have some kind of an agreement. In the same way that we create a vision and ethos for ourselves, we should set one up for our teams in the collective. So ask them, what do we stand for? What hills would we die on? What are our values? I've done tons of these, and I can guarantee you that when you do it, the team will propose as one of the suggested values, open and honest communication or open and honest feedback. And that one always gets upvoted by the team every single time. So people are quick to say that this is important to them. So take advantage of that. Put that team creed up on the board where you can see it easily and refer to it often. So every time you start a session, a retrospective, where you're collecting feedback, point to those collective agreements to remind them that we won't get better unless we're honest and open with one another using critical feedback. And remind them that we all agreed that these are the things we collectively value. Most importantly, number four, you had better be good at taking critical feedback yourself. So when you do any of these exercises, be prepared to accept feedback from others and accept it genuinely and to act upon it in a way that is visible. So this way, the team knows that you're serious about continuous improvement yourself and that you believe that feedback is not only non-threatening, but actually helpful. Number 5, agree on a way of giving feedback that's neutral. You can frame every piece of feedback with the words, "I believe we could improve if you were willing to try X." And number 6, related to that, remove all judgment when giving feedback. When we see someone not being present in a working session, let's assume, it might be because they're too caught up in fantasy football. The reality is, guys, it doesn't matter why they're not present as much as the fact that they're not showing up for the team. That's what we want to fix. You can never know for sure the reason why a teammate is not 100% engaged. But the minute you make judgments about their priorities and their values, it won't get you too far. So focus on the fact that you need them to show up more fully and give concrete examples of times when you noticed they weren't all the way in the game. That's far more effective. Number 7, by the way, the most effective feedback is that which is given in context, meaning that right after an event happens, we should be willing to provide feedback to team members if we notice something isn't working well. And this is why I'm such a big believer in doing mini retrospectives after every working session, after every group quote-unquote meeting, because why wait 2 weeks to bring it up, assuming we even remember it at all? It seems there's a distance between the event and the right now. It may not seem as important to team members as when it first occurred, and no one may remember the event in the first place. Number 8, make sure that your feedback is always focused on a behavior. And again, as we said in number 6, not a personal judgment. And also, when you're describing negative or undesirable behavior, always state the future desired behavior and any possible solutions or suggestions you can come up with. Without this, feedback just sounds like it's grumbling. So everything that you comment on should be behavior-based and should have some alternative or option that you can offer. Number 9, if after all these tips and tricks, and some of these are just little things to warm up the feedback and make it a little more gentle for the receiver, but if after all that work, you're still having trouble getting people to open up, here's a trick you can try. Find one or more natural pairs in the team. That's two people who get along well, maybe spend a lot of time together, and seem to have previously established at least a bit of a trust bond, and get them to go first. Call them feedback buddies, feedback partners, feedback pairs, whatever you want. And then get them to do a private offline exercise of identifying 3 gaps that they see in the other using the techniques I just described. After they've exchanged the feedback, they've each taken a turn. Each one creates in response an action plan of 1 to 3 things they'll do to address the gaps that were identified. Then and only then, once they've come up with not only the feedback but the action plan, have them share it with the team. Familiarity often creates implicit trust, and the idea here is that these people will offer more genuine observations because they're more comfortable with one another. Make sure you get them to focus on gaps. This isn't the time to ask each other what we do well. If you haven't already, get the rest of the team then into feedback pairs to repeat the same exercise. Sharing with the rest of the team, by the way, is optional, but it's a great way to showcase that we do and we can trust each other. But if you don't bring it into the public, if you don't share it with the rest of the team, then you as a coach, a leader or scrum master need to help them with this process. Make sure that they're actually giving meaningful, deep feedback. Now, after you've done that, rotate partners. So switch the pairs up, because this will take the little bit of trust that you built in the first step and then pushes the team to grow that trust bigger with a new person. Having different feedback partners, by the way, also highlights your gaps if more than one person can see the same gap, and it also lets you see how you show up to those of different backgrounds. So rotating the partners can actually be really powerful. Now, if feedback is directed at you, how do you as a leader have to behave? Number 1, check your state. Make sure you know how to check your state. Refer back to the episodes we did on emotional control, the episode on awareness, and make sure that you can intercept any negative responses that come up when people offer feedback that is personal and critical. Do you feel hurt? Do you feel angry? Do you feel surprised? Do you then feel the need to defend yourself or justify the behavior in question? Don't. Recognize and remember that feedback is not a judgment. Feedback does not equate with failure. Simply accept what you hear, nod your head even if you don't agree for now. Always say thank you for that. Ask questions that demonstrate that you are listening and you're open to learning and you're open to change. Whatever you do, don't judge the feedback as meaningful versus not meaningful, accurate versus unfair. Take a day or two to reflect on how this information might be true. Involve other people and get their feedback if you need to. But you have to have the mindset that if you were perfect already, you'd be the first person in history to be that way. Everybody has gaps. It is a privilege to be part of a team that is authorized to and engaged in a genuine quest for personal and collective excellence. Put simply, this is how we make each other better and move towards awesome. We move towards elite. Share this philosophy with your team as well on how to handle feedback, but make sure that you believe it and that you live it yourself first. Before we close up, allow me to inspire you with a starter creed that you can adapt and share if you're struggling to reach one with your own crew. We choose to build the greatest team in this organization. We are creating an elite team on which it is a rare privilege to serve, and we willingly accept that this requires us to set higher standards of quality, to accept our imperfections, to continuously improve, learn, and sharpen our skills. Talent has nothing to do with our success. We have greater determination, grit, and resolve than our competitors and our fellow teams. This commitment is individual. It is collective. Our first core value, then, is to shoot straight every day. Without this, we can never build the rest of it. If you can inspire your team to this level of commitment, to continuous improvement, then you have truly joined the ranks of the badass, and you will build an incredible team that will be a model for all others. Folks, thanks for listening. You can reach out at badassagile.com or find me on Twitter at badass_agile. I'll see you next time. And until then, stay badass.